Thank you for downloading this episode of Midnight Triple Feature. In this episode, we're out of our normal recording environment. We recorded live at Jeff's house after Mike and Jeff watched The Taking of Deborah Logan from 2014. Thank you and enjoy.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
All right, well, welcome to this episode of Midnight Triple Feature. Actually coming from Jeff's basement this time, so audio might be a little different than what you're used to hearing. Got this little Zoom recorder here that we're going to record on because Adam couldn't make it over here. So me and Jeff actually just got done watching The Taking of Deborah Logan. So we're going to review that in a minute. So you've been watching anything good at all?
I've been watching a lot of shit.
I
haven't written anything down. It's been a kind of a rough week. Kid's been sick. I went through a bout with the stomach flu. So.
Yeah, plus we just keep getting battered with the shitty weather, man. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I'm Everybody's ready for spring. Sick, so.
But you can head over to the website, midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com. You can hook up to our Twitter and Facebook from there. Or you can talk to us right through the website. So I got a few things here. So on Netflix, I watched, it's been in my queue for a while, Odd Thomas. Have you seen this?
Odd Thomas.
It's actually a pretty kick-ass movie. In a California desert town, a short-order cook has a clairvoyant ability, and he encounters a mysterious man with a link to a dark, threatening force.
I saw that. I just re-upped on the Netflix. I've been treading water on there. I notice a lot of the movies on that site I can watch for free where I have to actually rent on Amazon. I've been kind of going back and forth between the two. Spending more time on Netflix, but I've been just catching up on a lot of series, like TV series shows and stuff. So I haven't really watched anything, but I browsed like the horror genre and the sci-fi genres.
Yeah, this is a comedy horror. It's actually pretty good. It's really weird. There's like these certain demons that he can see. But if those demons find out that he can see them, they'll kill him. So he's got to go the entire, like, so basically...
He's got to act like he can't see him?
Yeah, when someone's going to die or when someone's going to commit mass murder, these demons come and attach themselves to these people, and they just crawl. They're just black masses that crawl all over the walls, all over the person. They, like, sniff them and stuff, and he's got to pretend he doesn't see them. So, but that helps him to stop whatever crime they're going to do because he knows what's going to happen or he can figure it out. But he's the entire time he's got to pretend like he can't see these things. And if they crawl all over him, he's got to just keep his cool. It's actually a really kick-ass movie. Kind of low budget, but definitely worth the check. I also watched, I watched this on Hulu, but I actually think it's on Netflix too. It's called Billy Club from 2013. This is a kick-ass film. Low budget horror movie.
Another comedy horror?
Yeah, comedy horror, but dude, it's about a dude who gets picked on. He plays Little League, and they pick on him because he sucks. So later on, when he's an adult, he comes back, he's dressed in, like, full catcher's gear. So, you know, you can't... And he's got a baseball bat that he bashes nails through. And then he cuts out the top of the, he cuts out the top of the baseball bat, and he puts, like, these two metal prongs on it, so he can slide the blade of a knife in and out as he wants. And he just basically goes through, you know, standard movie... There's a pitcher, and he takes out everybody in the pitcher one by one as he goes through. That's a pretty kick-ass movie. I also watched Journey to the Seventh Planet.
That sounds like a fucking 40s movie.
1962.
Wow.
And actually, for being 1962, it's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I think it's public domain because I see it on a lot of those, you know, four movie kits or, you know, in those 50 set bundles and stuff. I see it around a lot. Decided to check it out. This I actually watched on Hulu too. The camera work, the green screen work, like all that is awesome. Like there's one scene where they're sitting on, it's weird. They call it, it's Uranus, but, they call it Uranus through the whole movie. And, it's kind of weird because it throws you out. They're like, we're going to Uranus. We're on Uranus. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Probably trying to be politically correct.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't see anus.
But it's actually, like I said, there's a scene where they're sitting there and everything they think, like, starts to appear on the planet. So, like, he's telling the story of, you know, he was a child and he had this little farmhouse that he lived on. And in the background, they never cut. In the background, all of a sudden, this glimmer shows up and a house appears. And he's like, and there used to be this windmill, and then the windmill appears. And then, all like, he talks about this girl that was on the farm and stuff like that. They used to, you know, come and stuff like that. They go over to, and they're like, wait, it's over there. So they go over to look, and the girl's in the house, and everything he described is there. And all this shit just goes crazy. It's actually, for what it is actually pretty good. It's worth a look. Like, It's funny because they're like, everything looks good. The cinematography's great. The acting's good. The graphics are good. And then they wear these motorcycle helmets, right? Just like straight yellow motorcycle helmets that have this weird piece of like square glass just like screwed onto it. And it's supposed to be their space helmet, but it's not airtight at all.
Typical of Mad Max beyond the Thunderdome.
Yeah, kind of.
Check that out.
Yeah, you could find that pretty much anywhere, I think. I think it's public domain, so it might be on, like, PubDub.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I mean, I've watched some other stuff, but nothing else really worth talking about at this point.
Same here. I mean, the only thing that I could think of is Automata with Antonio Banderas. It was a sci-fi movie released, I think, last year. And, I mean, it was pretty decent. It was a good fill-in movie for something, you know, something to watch. You know, like I said, me and the kids have been sick all week, so kind of just I've been entertaining their movie needs, you know, not the horror movies, so.
You watch Flash?
I started watching it. I started catching up on a lot of shows on series cravings, like Vikings. Been watching that. Caught up on Walking Dead. There was another one I was watching too, but I've been kind of steering clear of series cravings because every time I click on a link, it brings up a lot of pop-ups, you know, a lot of ads and shit.
Get a pop-up blocker.
Then I won't be able to watch the show.
No?
Yeah, I watch series cravings. You got a pop-up blocker. Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It'll actually, the one that I have too, it blocks all the Facebook ads.
Yeah.
So all those ads that show you on the side, all those are gone. And anytime I go to, like, Serious Cravings or, you know, Movies 4K or anything, all those ads are gone, too. It will pop up and say, you don't allow pop-ups on this page or whatever it says. But the movie just plays for me. I don't have a problem with it yet. Because I hate those pop-ups, too.
I don't have any problem playing them. It's just a pain in the ass to have to click and, you know, click and click and click. Click about 5 times before you get to watch a show, you know?
There's this new movie coming out called The Corpse of Anna Fritz. I saw a trailer for this.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. So I saw the trailer for the first time the other day. All the trailer is, apparently she's a model, a movie star, and she dies. And she's in the morgue. And there's a bunch of dudes standing around the body going, well, she's dead, you're not going to hurt her. And then, like, this other dude's like, well, she's still warm, so it really won't be that bad. And then it's just them arguing over whether they should have sex with the body or not. Then it cuts to this guy, he's in the room by himself, and he starts banging her, and her head is, you know, tilted off of the...
Like bent backwards.
Yeah, it's like bent backwards while he's banging her, and her eyes open. And then the trailer ends. Best trailer? I want to check that out. That looks fucked up.
This sounds fucked up.
Yeah.
First of all, why would you be banging a fucking dead chick? Second of all, when their fucking eyes open, that makes it even more freaky.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have seen it right away because her head was tilted back.
I know.
So the camera is kind of facing her head and his head.
Yeah.
But you can only, he wouldn't be able to see her. Yeah, he can't see her face.
That would be kind of fucked up, though, as you're like fucking her and you don't see her face, but all of a sudden her whole body fucking pops up in front of you.
Oh, my God.
Poof. My fucking dick would go.
Oh, man. I'm sure something really bad happens after that. Yeah. They just don't show it.
Yeah, that's par for the course.
But other than that, I don't have too much more. I mean, it's going to be a pretty short show. So we're going to be doing the Chauffeur in Order of One the next time Attic can get over here. So we're going to be doing those then. So other than that, no, you want to get right into...
Yeah, you might as well. I think we got a little bit to talk about with this movie, seeing how it was pretty unnerving and freaky.
Yeah, so this is the Taking of Deborah Logan. It's 2014. Director is Adam Robitel. It stars Jill Larson as Deborah Logan, Anne Ramsey as Sarah Logan, Michelle Ange as Mia Medina, and Ryan Kutara as Harris. Those are the main characters. There's two other camera guys that are pretty.
They got pretty short. Yeah, yeah, they got short roles. That Harris dude, though, I've seen him in other shit.
Let's see here. General Hospital, In the Line of Fire, Hot Shots.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, he's got 93 things in his filmography.
No major roles, just like supporting and like menial parts.
He played in two episodes of Sons of Anarchy as Griffin. I don't remember him from that, though. Oh, he plays in The Inbetweeners. I watched some of that. That's actually a pretty kick-ass show.
Yeah.
Oh, this is what? Yeah, no, not this one. This is... I don't know what this is. The Inbetweeners is a British show, which is actually pretty good.
The Inbetweeners.
Let's see. Yeah, Mad Men, NCSI. I don't really watch any of those. But, oh, looks like he's just got a lot of character parts in a bunch of TV shows.
Yeah.
You know? First part, it's, Deborah Logan is diagnosed with, Alzheimer's.
The early stages.
The early stage of Alzheimer's. But all of a sudden, her disease progresses very, yeah, very fast. And you find out very quickly that it may not be Alzheimer's. I'm going to try to dance around the best I can so we don't give,
this is a fairly new movie.
Brand new movie, and it's actually worth checking out.
It is. It's pretty fucking scary, to be honest with you.
So,
you know,
we'll do our best to not spoil any of the major stuff. I mean, it's pretty talkable. You know, other than
not the very a lot ending. Not a lot of shit fucking scares me. Or, I should say, unnerves me. But this movie, like, the only other movie that ever unnerved me was The Exorcist. And I watched that back when I was a little kid. And that's, I had nightmares for months after watching that. This movie, for me, you know, probably because I'm going to be by myself this weekend because my kids are over at their mother's house.
What are they going to do if anything happens anyway? They're going to run to you.
Yeah, I know. At least I got company.
Right? Got someone to hold in front of me.
Human shields. You know, it unnerves you. There's a lot of jump scares. There's a few. Like someone who's not, let's say someone who isn't like used to watching horror movies, watch this movie, there's going to be a lot of like jumps, you know, startles.
Yeah, there's a lot of startling. Like, I can usually tell when the jump scares are coming anyways. Mm. I've seen so many of them, you kind of know. But like I was telling you when we were watching this movie does have a lot of very long, because it's a slow burn, you know, kind of slowly gets into it.
Yep.
And there's a lot of long shots. There's a lot of shots where it's just on her or something else that's going on.
Yeah, and you're expecting
something. You expect something to happen, and then all of a sudden, the scene just ends. And you're like, whoa, okay.
And that's unnerving.
And it works.
It does.
It really works. The filming in this is basically
Blair Witch.
Security camera, guy behind camera. Not a found footage, but footage that's being presented to you as real.
Yeah.
It's got interviews and stuff in it.
Oh, there was a point in the movie, if you've watched the Blair Witch Project, you know, it kind of makes you sick a little bit. Gives you a stomach ache. The way the camera moves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no,
there was more of that towards
the one where he's setting the camera up and she kind of walks behind him and then just disappears and you don't really know where she goes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he goes and opens the door. At first, we thought it was a closet and then we find out later it's not.
It really looked like a closet. And it now that you look back at it, it's like I would have done the same thing. Opened that door, saw that there was stairs going down, and I would have been like, fuck that.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
Close that door.
Pretty much
trying not to spoil it.
Yeah, everybody in this movie is acting as par. Actually, the most likable character, I think, is Mia. she was probably the most likable, the one that you actually
looked but you like don't she really, was... You don't really see too much of her. There's... She just has, like, fill-in. She's like a filler. A bridge.
Yeah, well, she's the one that's doing the... She has guys filming for her, but she's the doctor, whatever you call her, that's...
Doing the documentary.
That's doing it, yeah, the actual documentary. And the mother is really good, too. Deborah's good.
Yeah.
And Mia's good. The other ones are kind of forgettable. The daughter...
The daughter had too much energy for me.
Yeah.
You know, if I met her in a bar, maybe... Okay, yeah. But no. In the movie, she had way too much...
Yeah, she's moving around a lot.
Yeah.
In the very beginning, she's doing a lot more than she needs to
be. Too excited.
Yeah. At first, I was like, I don't really care for her. And then you kind of... She kind of grows on you, but at the same time, you're like, you just remember everything she did in the beginning, and you're like, she's not that good.
Not only that, but like it seemed like as the movie went on, she assumed a different role. You know, she was getting all serious now, you know? And
yeah.
I don't know if that was part of how they wanted to portray her, but...
But Deborah, her great actor. She played a good role in this. Not only that, let's see if we can find who did the effects in this, because she starts off as a older lady, but maybe 60s. I wouldn't even say that old.
I would say late 60s.
But she very fastly becomes a lot older than that, like look-wise.
Yeah, you could tell by what's happening in the movie is aging her quickly.
Yeah, and they do a really good job of those effects.
Yeah.
Of making her look older than she is from the beginning of the movie.
Some of the special effects in this movie are pretty well done. I'd like to know what their budget was for this movie.
Let's see, Jacob Hare was the concept artist on this. And he has done quite a few things. Did Driftwood, art department. Starship Troopers 3. The effects are good, but the movie sucks. In the Name of the King, actually. He did the effects for that.
Yeah, Name of the King was a bomb, too. So, starred Jason Statham, which was one of his worst movies, I'd say.
I'm a huge Jason Statham fan, but that movie was pretty bad. But he's done a lot of stuff.
I liked Revolver better than that movie.
And, he was the only one under visual effects. So he did them all. Because, I mean, there's scenes where she's handcuffed. And she slides out of the handcuff. Is it in the hospital when she slides her hands out?
Spoiler alert.
Kind of, yeah. There's a scene
we're pretty deep into the storyline now. I mean, and things are really starting to happen. And
she slides her hands out of these handcuffs. I mean, she's going crazy, so they're strapping her down.
Well, her body's changing, too,
And the skin just peels off her hand.
Yeah.
It's pretty graphic, and I actually like that.
You can see the bones on both of her hands. Yeah. That was pretty fucking wild.
Let me see if I can find a budget on it.
Yeah, I'd like to know what the budget was, because, I mean, it was done, if it was low budget, it was done really well, and they utilized their funds.
Yeah, I can't find a budget on it, so I'm not sure what that is. Can't seem to find it anywhere. But there's actually a pretty awesome scene where they have the time running on the camera, so you can see the time.
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
And she's sleepwalking in the middle of the night, and she's standing in front of the counter, and all of a sudden she's on top of the counter. It just jumps.
Yeah, and but the time stays the same. The time stamp stays the same.
It's pretty kick-ass. So they have a lot of good effects in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm trying to dance around it because I want you to watch it. I don't want to give too much away, but
I'd say definitely check it out. I would watch it again. There's like a 51% chance that I would watch this movie again.
Yeah. Well, when I just rated it, I personally rated it. I didn't like the film. It's a great film. I'm not too keen on these what you would call found footage or presented footage films. Yeah. They're getting burned out for me. Not only that, I'm just... Every supernatural movie I see, like, seems to be the same. Like I said to you earlier, if there's a ghost, great, there's a ghost. Because how much can that ghost do? I mean, I'm not a paranormal expert, but every movie takes it so far over the top.
Yeah.
They add so much stuff to it to the point where you just can't believe it anymore.
Well, I think it's because they, a lot of movies back in the day that were based on true events were made movie form. You know, they weren't presented in found footage or, you know, footage presented to you like they are nowadays. They're, like you said, they're overkilling them.
Yeah, you know? They are. But this one here is actually done, I wouldn't say differently than some of the other ones, but it's presented to you different than some of the other
ones. Yeah, their approach was a lot different. It makes you want to watch it. Like, yeah. It, you know.
It wasn't like that crazy over the top, like those Paranormal Activity movies. It's nothing like that. It's actually presented. It's presented to you as this could really happen. But once you get into the meat of it, it's like, is this even possible? You know, and that's just what throws me out of these paranormal movies.
Well, they said it was based on true events. What do you think?
Do you really think somebody can puke up dirt?
I don't know. There's a lot of, like, the hauntings and, like, the, what was it? The exorcism of Emily Rose?
Yeah, that was
nuts. Where she coughed up nails and stuff. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's over the top. It's unbelievable. Yeah. You know, if you're possessed by a demon, the demon's not going to be like, I'm going to make you puke up nails.
Where the fuck if you're possessed by a from? Demon, a lot
Did
of...
you swallow quarters? Yeah. You shove quarters on your throat and make you puke nails?
Yeah, well...
Like, where the fuck do nails come from? That's what I mean about these paranormal movies. I just don't get them. I just... some of them are good, and just some of them aren't good.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of the paranormal movies, but...
Yeah, don't waste your time. Watch maybe the first one.
Nah. Because
the first one is like... All right, this is really good, and then after that, it's a franchise film. It just goes downhill so fast. I was given a copy of the marked ones.
Yeah.
And I heard it's actually really good. I just neglected to watch it because I've seen a couple of the other ones, and I didn't like them. But I heard the marked ones is really good. I just haven't got around to finding time to watch it yet.
You got to remember, I come from a day and age where The Omen, The Exorcism Street, What else was it? The Poltergeist. These movies weren't based on true events, but they were fucking scary as hell.
Oh, I love Poltergeist, but even that's over the top.
It is, but, well, no, the first one or two were okay, but after that, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, getting sucked into a TV, then you're in a closet in another dimension. It's over the top, but it's enjoyable.
Oh, like, Ghostbusters. Look at the Ghostbusters.
They're not presenting this to me and saying, this is really going to happen. You're going to open a door, and all this shit is going to be in the air, sucked against the wall.
Yeah, like, but I don't think they want you to believe it's true, though, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, these paranormal movies presented to me as it's real.
Yeah.
Like, they're like...
They're trying to make it believable, but it's...
It's not.
It's not supposed to be believable. It's supposed to scare the fucking shit out of you.
If you want to present a movie like that... Make it believable. Make me believe that this could really happen. Like, somebody could get possessed. Fine. Like, The Conjuring did it perfect. The Conjuring was awesome.
Yeah, but do you think because everybody is trying to make it believable that a lot of people are just like, fucking, I don't believe it. I mean, because that's where I'm going, you know? I would rather watch, say, Poltergeist or Amityville Horror.
Oh, yeah.
That shit fucking scares me. That makes me think that it's real.
What, the house getting sucked into the ground?
What house? Oh, and Poltergeist? Yeah. No, I'm talking about, like, Amityville or fucking Exorcist, The Omen, all this shit. That stuff, they had it right back in the 70s, man. They made these movies to scare the fucking living shit out of you. Make you think about what just happened, you know, and if it could ever happen to you, you know.
When I was younger, there was very few things that scared me. But I do remember Amityville Horror scared me. Like, that movie freaked me out so bad. So did Poltergeist. Like, any time, because even back then, like, certain TVs, and I mean, back then we had those little tiny black boxes that just had the red numbers on them,
mm-hmm.
and that was the box that, I mean, this is going back to the 80s, so. But, like, say, the TV in the kitchen, my dad used to have a little TV in the kitchen that he would watch, you know, baseball on while he was cooking and shit, and that was just bunny ears. So anytime that fucking thing went to static, I'm like, fuck this. you know?
I think at our day and age, we're, I don't know, numb, or what do they call it, desensitized. to a lot of the horror films,
yeah.
a lot of the movies. So there's a lot of skepticism, you know, when you're watching these things. You're more critical to the newer stuff nowadays as compared to just starting watching. I mean, when I watch a horror movie with my kids, guess who's sleeping on my floor in my room at night? My kids, because they are scared shitless.
What the hell do you have me drinking? Oculto. Tequila Barrel Staves. Is this beer?
Yeah. Blended with beer. Aged on tequila.
Blended with beer.
Yeah.
It Ooh, tastes like tequila.
It's fucking pretty good, man.
Wow.
I'm buzzing pretty good.
I just call that? It is, says tequila. I said tequila.
Tequila.
Wow. That's some pretty good stuff. Is a beer mixed with tequila?
I don't know. It says beer blended with beer. So it's like a, maybe a, what do they call those things?
It tastes
malt?
Like it
a malt
like
liquor?
Tequila, yeah. This is actually pretty good.
I beer like with tequila stave aged lager with natural flavors. I don't know. It just says 6.0% alcohol per volume.
Yeah, well, the other one I was just drinking was 9.1%, and that was a triple IPA. Didn't taste like tequila. It tasted like beer.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, this was a good movie. You know, there's, like I said, been desensitized to a lot of shit, but, you know, when you hit that right movie, that one that comes out, and it just fucking hits home, you know? This one kind of fucking, it freaked me out.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely a worth watch.
Well, I want to say there's parts that are freaky.
Yeah. I think the old lady was the freakiest, like the way she looked. Like when she was you looking at you and, you know, her eyes and stuff really penetrate. That really fucking freaked me out.
Like the scene where she's just standing in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
Just not doing anything. Like, there's nothing happening, but yet you're like, that's creepy.
You know what freaking creeps me out more? It's like you're in the room. You know, you just sweep and cleared that room. And you know no one else is in that room. And then all of a sudden, because there's no lights in the house. I don't know where the electricity is. You turn, and there she is. Bam. Right in front of you.
Yeah, just out of nowhere.
What would you do? I think I would have jumped through the window.
I probably would have pushed her out of my way.
I would have been like, bitch.
All right, well, anything else on The Taking of Deborah Logan?
That was a good pick for tonight, I think. We were discussing whether or not we should do that, or what was the other one? Omen Part 2?
Yeah, well, I got a text from Adam. He wasn't going to be able to make it, so I said, all right. I gave you a call. I was like, I'm going to go get a beer and something to eat, and then let me know what you want to do. Just find something. He came up with a couple options, and this is what we picked, so I think it was a good pick. I think it's definitely worth a watch. I'm assuming that The Omen 2 is probably not as good as this.
No,
The Omen was good. I like The Omen.
The older movies, they played on, like, visual and sound more. The scores are really what hit home, too. They match them up perfectly.
Yeah, this movie,
to the scenes.
This movie didn't have any music.
No, it didn't. I'm talking about the older movies.
Oh, yeah.
Like The Omen, you know. You knew something was going to happen when the fucking piano started playing, you know?
I've never seen The Omen 2, but
yeah, it's pretty good. I watched them all back when I was a kid. That just fucking aged me.
I have The Omen on DVD.
The newer one?
Oh, you know what I just picked up? Walmart's got them for $12. The 5-movie collection of Superman.
Oh, yeah?
It's got Superman.
I think I bought those.
Is it?
I got those a while back.
It just came out.
I got all 5 of them, like, a long time ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I just picked it up. I got them on Blu-ray.
I don't have them on Blu-ray, though.
Oh, yeah, I just got them for, like, $12 on Blu-ray. Got all 5 of them. Watched the first one. So I'm going to work my way through the series. I'm not a huge Superman fan, but I love the older Superman movies. I used to love the TV show with Dean Cain.
Yeah.
My parents used to watch that religiously.
Did you ever watch the old one?
That's a... Why are you trying... It's a twist top.
Huh?
It's a twist top. Why are you using a bottle opener or a twist top?
Oops.
So I got all... I'm gonna work my way through the series, but the first one is so much better than the remake that just came out a couple years ago.
I think all of the older ones with Christopher Reeve, I think all those were the shit.
The first one that I just watched, I mean, I've seen them all. Because the one that I got has Superman the movie. That's got 2, 3, and 4. And then it's got the one from 2006 in it. But I just watched the first one for the first time, and I don't know how long. It was, what, 76? Did it come out? Something like that?
In the Something 70s. Like that, yeah. It was late 70s.
Compared to the one that just came out in, what, 2011? It's so much better. So much better. And it's almost a now that I'm watching it, it's almost pretty close to a shot-for-shot remake. It's pretty much the same movie.
Yeah, it is. You know, but I remember an interview with Christopher Reeves back in the day when he went for the role for Superman. He actually, this is when, like, you know how actors, they have to really do physical training to make a part. You know, this is what we're looking for this part. So they have to go through months of training and stuff like that. This is when it started, like, with Christopher Reeve, because I remember an interview with him. He actually worked out for, like, 3 months straight to build up that muscle he's got in that movie in part one. He actually was the start of what we have today, you know, for a role. So that kind of has a little nostalgic...
Yeah, there's just something about the earlier one, like... I don't know.
I think it's the cinema. It's the cinematography. Yeah, it's got to be because it's like
the flying. Like obviously the parts where he's flying are a little more corny.
Yeah, but
then say something new. But it works.
It works. It's soft.
Like when he flies up and he gets the cat out of the tree, you don't actually see him fly.
You don't see the ropes or the strings.
Well, no, because you don't even see him fly. You just assume he's flying because. You see him reach into a tree. You only see his arm.
Yeah.
And then the next time you see him...
He's landing.
He's landing on the ground. Then you're like, okay, I'm just going to assume he's flying. And it works.
Yeah.
Obviously, the CGI does look a lot better. You can do a lot with CGI. But that earlier movie is just so much better.
I think because the film they used was like a lesser quality than we have nowadays. That it has that like late 70s, early 80s kind of like film... I don't know what they used.
The one that I got is real clean, man. It's cleaned up completely.
No, I'm not talking that it's, like, messed up or dirty or anything like that. It's just, it's that kind of movie that you would go to a movie theater to watch.
Oh, yeah.
It's a movie theater movie, like Star Wars, Indiana Jones, those kind of movies.
That movie does not hold up at all.
I'm talking about the way that they're filmed. Like, the film they use, you know, it's that kind of film, like... Yeah. Romancing the Stone with Michael Douglas and...
Yeah, like 32mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of film really kind of... It's comfortable on the eyes.
Yeah, no, I like movies when there's that, like, that feel of, like, everything's shot digital now. That grit, that
crisp.
Feel. Yeah, that, like, that the jumping every once in a while, you know, like, you knew that camera was in the field. You knew what it was, you know, like, there's history behind it. Now it's just some dude with a digital camera,
mm-hmm.
you know, we'll...
It's all about the HD.
Who cares if it fucked up? We'll put it into the computer, we'll fix it, we'll send it back out. It's, there's just something about those older movies that are just so much more appealing.
They run it, they have to retake it, you know, that's the way it went back then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was no clicking the enter or the backspace on a computer. In fact, those movies were made when there was no internet for the public.
When we first started doing this podcast, I picked a movie called Evil Ed. And you go back, it was, I don't know, episode 4 or 5. And Evil Ed is, actually it might have been before that. Evil Ed is about a guy, he's just a normal dude, you know, like normal geeky kind of guy. But what he does, this guy brings him in to cut a horror movie. And he starts to go nuts. All he's doing all day is watching kills, 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 kills. And he's got to cut them all, and he's got to make a movie out of them. And eventually it starts fucking with him. But the reason I told you that was because that art form of cutting film... I just got a text message. that art of cutting film is gone. You know, like, they would record something, and that guy would go in and cut film,
mm-hmm.
put it back together... And that's how you got a movie.
Yeah.
Now it's, you record it, you put it in a computer.
And it removes what you want.
Yeah, and you just do it. I mean, which is great, you know. Technology's a motherfucker. But there's just something about that grit of, you know, the film that I like. I have no idea how long we're running because I can't see time on this thing, but we're at about 30 minutes. Anything else you want to say? I mean, it's a short show, so anything else you want to talk about?
I don't know. This new beer is pretty good.
I know.
It's a cold.
Well, I know you don't watch, I know you don't, you haven't caught up on Flash yet, but.
I've been wanting to get into the Arrow. I want to start with Arrow and work my way in.
Well, they intertwine, so if you watch them at the same time, certain shows will make better sense.
Mm-hmm.
The spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it, and for you, the Atom comes in.
Oh.
Remember I was telling you that a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
But I won't tell you who it was, but now I have to tell you. So, the Atom is introduced to Arrow, basically. I won't tell you how he gets introduced, because you're going to want to see it. I don't know if you're caught up on Arrow, but he gets introduced into Arrow, which is awesome, because the Atom is fucking awesome. And in the Flash, it's Firestorm. I don't know if you're familiar with Firestorm at all. It's basically two dudes who, a young guy and an older guy, and when they become one person, they have these massive superpowers. So it's kind of like Johnny Blaze. They can set themselves on fire, and they can fly around and throw fire. They can do stuff like that. Well, these two characters are getting their own spinoff.
I was going to say, you know, this sounds weirdly familiar to the Avengers kind of spinoff. Do you see something like that happening in the future where, like, they're going to come out with a movie, Arrow, Flash, Atom, you know, and intertwine it with Gotham, a movie form?
It's already happening.
Is it?
Yeah, Batman v Superman.
Oh.
Yeah, that's going to turn into the Justice League movie. Because if you look at the list of the Justice League movie, originally it was going to be Batman, it was going to be a Superman 2 movie, and then they turned it into Batman versus Superman, and then they added all these other characters. So, basically, in the new Batman versus Superman movie, you have Aquaman, you have Wonder Woman, there's a few other ones, so they're making...
No, I'm talking about, like, Arrow and Flash, specifically.
Well, that's the thing. So the movie right now, the Justice League movie, this Batman vs. Superman movie is going to be...
Like the catalyst for something
coming up, because yeah. Arrow is the grunt of the Justice League. In the comic books, it's Arrow comes in to try to help, and they're like, get out of here, you don't have any superpowers, you can't help us, and Batman's always one that tries to... Say, leave him alone, you know, he's like me, and, you know, the Green Lantern's like, get him out of here, he can't help us. So, the Arrow's always the grunt of the Justice League. But, they're going to do that. But, no, they're doing a lot of crossovers. The only problem that I see that I don't like is Supergirl's got her own show now, which is on ABC. And ABC is like, we're not giving you any rights to this character. There's no crossovers. This is our shit. Don't even ask. But, which would be kick-ass, because then she could come over and...
Yeah, but they still can, they can have their own Supergirl.
Mm-mm. They got the rights to her now. They bought the rights to the show.
So Supergirl's out of the picture.
Out of the picture, yeah. There will not be a crossover.
Now they got Aquaman.
Yeah.
Being played by, Khal Drogo
with
from Game of Thrones.
With the shittiest costume I've ever seen.
That motherfucker, Listen, when I think of Aquaman, I think of this green fucking guy with fucking blonde hair.
Yep.
That's what I think of.
This dude's got like dreadlocks.
He's got like... dreadlocks, fucking brunette. He's like a dark-haired fucking like bohemian. I mean, the guy's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't picture Aquaman as huge.
No, Aquaman's like slender.
Yeah, he's slender. He's got like a mermaid.
Athletic. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I'm keen on that, man. That's throwing me off of it.
Don't get me wrong. This dude's a good actor. I mean, he played good in Game of Thrones. He played the part good.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in that. Yeah.
But he doesn't belong in the fucking Justice League. He doesn't belong in the Aquaman.
Yeah, genre. Well, he's going to be in the movie. That's who's going to pay him in the movie.
Yeah.
Unless
they can do wonders with fucking special effects, which they can, who knows what he's going to look like.
See, but I like the fact that you got Flash, right? So you got Flash, you got Arrow, you got Gotham. You have three shows that all take place in the same universe. You can do whatever you want. At the same time. You can do whatever you want. Like, not really at the same time, though, because in Gotham, Batman's young, so that's at a different... It's in the same universe, but it's a different point in time.
Yeah.
But you can cross over pretty much anything you want between Arrow and Flash, and mm-hmm. it's really enjoyable. And spoiler alert for anybody that doesn't know or hasn't picked up on it in the past two episodes, they're going to be doing a time travel with Flash. They're already setting it up. Flash is going to go back in time.
How far back in time?
I can't tell you because then that would spoil the show.
That'd be kind of fucked up because he's got to be careful how far back he goes, right? You go back too far.
No. That's where they get you.
How the fuck can you do that then?
Can I tell you? Do you want me to tell you?
Well, is it going to spoil it?
Maybe a little bit.
I want to know. I mean,
do you know how the whole time, I'll see if you can figure it out without telling you. And if you figure it out, I'll tell you. You know how the whole time they keep saying when his mother died and he was a little boy and he's kept seeing the...
That ball. Explosion.
No, he kept seeing there was a flash of light running around his mother.
Yeah.
And he kept saying there was a face in there. And then that particular face picked him up and ran him out of the house and put him somewhere else and then ran back.
That's him. No. That's counter... How can they do that?
I don't know.
They can't do that because technically...
They've already done it.
They can't. How do you explain that?
You gotta watch it.
Listen, his mother and him are alive. If he was gonna die at that point in time, he would have died. There would have been no future. Then how could he have gone back to save him?
But he didn't die. His mother died.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense.
All right, so
I don't understand because, like, all right, his mother and him are living in this time. All right, something happens with that ball of light, and there's a face in there, and supposedly it's him. Doesn't his mother die at
that
point?
That's a miss part until... There's a lot of spoilers right here, so if you're not caught up and you watch it, I'm going to spoil some shit. There's two faces in that ball of light. There's two faces. One is Flash, and one is somebody else.
His father.
You gotta watch it to find out.
All right. I'm going to watch it.
If you're not caught up,
I'm not going to understand.
The other face, you're going to be like, you kind of already know who it is because there's parts where, how far are you in this?
I can't remember. It's been a while. But I can't piece together.
Are you to the part where Flash is running up and down the fucking the runway for the airplanes and they're timing out his time to see how fast he can run?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's running so fast that they're afraid that he's going to, like, combust.
Yeah.
And do you see
The suit he's got on.
And it's got the two scientists and then Dr. Wells in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
And they're all there watching him run around. You didn't catch what happened at that point?
I can't remember. I don't recall.
But you did see that?
Yeah, I did
see
that.
Okay, so I'm not spoiling anything for you. And he's going so fast to the point where, like, they're like, he's got to stop. And all of a sudden, you just see Dr. Willis put his leg down on the ground, and he's getting ready to move. And then all of a sudden, Flash stops, and he puts his leg back on the wheelchair. So he's not paralyzed. Dr. Willis is not paralyzed.
I gotta watch it again.
Yeah. So,
Here's my question,
they really show you who Dr. Willis is after that.
All right, but I don't understand this. All right, put yourself in the time of Flash and his mother. When it all goes down.
Yep.
If... He went back in time to save himself.
He didn't save himself.
You just said he grabbed himself and pulled him out of there.
He did.
To save himself.
No, not to save himself. So I assume he pulled himself out of the room so he couldn't see what was going to happen because he already knew what was going to happen.
All right, so there was no death involved in that.
There was. His mom died.
Was he in danger at all in that room?
No.
So, basically, he's just adding himself to that picture without...
Basically...
If he was going to die in that picture, then he would have died. What I'm trying to get at is the timeline. Okay. Going back in time like that would not have saved him. He would have died then, and that would have been it.
No, all right, so what happens is he's on the floor, or his mother's on the floor, and he's standing in the doorway, and he's watching these two or one or whatever he can see lights run around his mother, run around his mother, run around his mother. And then all of a sudden, he's picked up and ran out of the house. And when he comes back, his mother's dead. Or when It's hard to explain. So Little Flash, as a kid, is ran out of the house really fast and put somewhere else. And by the time this other light comes back, Flash's mother is dead. I think what they're getting at is because he took the time to remove himself from the house.
That killed his mother.
That killed his mother. That's the reason why his mother died, was because he was trying to save himself from seeing what was going to happen. So I think what they're going to do is reiterate that somehow.
But still, that still doesn't match up time-wise. Why, he would have already known not to take himself out of that room.
Not right? necessarily, because it hasn't happened yet.
Then how would he have known? How would he have known to go back to do that if he had no
because
idea?
Because he wasn't the Flash yet. So all of that...
It's kind of in a loop.
No.
It's in a loop.
No, because all of that stuff that happened in the past, right, that had happened that they show you, he technically in this timeline wasn't the Flash yet, so he didn't know. So he's now piecing it all together as, holy shit, that was... I think your cat committed suicide. He's now piecing it all together as... Now he's piecing it together as, like, this is what happened, and I know what happened, and now that I'm my current self, you know what I'm saying? He can't know what's going to happen until it actually happens, even though it's already happened.
I think you got to get Stephen Hawking on the line.
Stephen Hawking's going to agree with me. Everybody should just agree to agree with me.
No, I don't. I agree to a point. I don't agree with the timeline, and
no,
I don't
because it hasn't happened yet. The timeline
but
hasn't happened
he
yet.
He knows about it.
No, understand. He doesn't. He doesn't know about it. Okay. But he wasn't the Flash yet. So it hasn't happened. So for him, in this timeline, it hasn't happened yet. He's slowly piecing it together going, that was me. So now, when that point in time actually comes, when he's got to go back in time, he can change it.
Okay, but they're showing it before it actually happens.
No, because it's already happened.
You're fucking freaking me out.
It's already happened.
No, it didn't already happen.
Yes,
no,
it
didn't.
It just
you just
happened.
Said it didn't happen
it
yet.
It just hasn't happened in his timeline.
I give up. I don't care.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but
no,
I get it.
I can't wrap my head around the timeline thing. I just can't.
You got to watch it and figure it out. It's pretty
It's
really kick-ass how they figure it out.
I'll watch it, but I ain't going to figure it
out.
You know that
smart dude, I always forget his name.
The one that does all the technical,
built
the suit and stuff.
He's the one that figures it out. He finds like this old mirror in the house that's never been moved, and he's like, oh, we can blah, 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 and then all of a sudden he's got this fucking 3D image in the middle of the room. It's like insane how
that's like, right, dude, oh, you know what? I did watch something pretty, I know you didn't think it was very good, but I watched the new RoboCop, the remake. I actually liked it.
I'm just going to stop this podcast now.
I didn't mind it.
That was so bad.
I didn't mind it. It didn't, like, coincide with the older ones, because me and my daughter watched the older one today. I love the older one. The older movies with Peter Weller, awesome.
This had nothing to do with that.
It didn't, but
nothing.
The new one, it had great effects. I thought the special effects were pretty cool.
In the new one?
In the new one.
What, like when the lungs are, like, levitating in the air?
Yeah. No, they were encased.
Yeah, they were just fucking, it was just lungs and a fucking, like, head.
I don't know, man. I liked it.
And then the entire time I'm watching it, I'm going, is this from a video game? It looked like video game cutscenes the whole fucking time. That movie was terrible.
I don't know.
Me, Adam, and Connor got free tickets to go see it over in fucking Plainville. I watched it, you know, like in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously I was at the theater. I wasn't anywhere else. But so we watched it. We come out. And as I'm walking out of the theater, we're all kind of talking about it. We stood in the parking lot for about 40 minutes. And the more we talked about it, the more I hated it. When I first left, I was like, mediocre. Like, I'll never watch it again. But the more we talked about it, the more I despised that movie. It was bad. It was just, RoboCop's got a family, and he's going to, like, he can feel with that one hand. And, like, all the fight scenes were just very video game-ish, and oh god,
I don't know. I think, you know, the loss that he had, the loss between him and his family,
yeah,
the loss
in
his
the
family.
First one,
huh?
They have that in the first, in the original.
No, because you don't see the family in the first one.
Are you? Yeah, you
family,
do.
The family's not involved. All you see is memories of his family. You don't. He does not have contact with his family in the first one.
Yeah, he shouldn't. He's a fucking robot. He shouldn't go back and see his family.
Well, in the first one, they don't explain what happens to the family. All of a sudden, they're gone. They just disappear. You know, and
they have
like
to,
in this
scared
one,
the robot's going to come back and kill him.
What robot? They're, he didn't get killed by the robot. He got killed by the fucking, he got killed by, what's his name there?
Red Foreman from That 70s Show. it was just so bad.
I don't know. I think I liked it for its emotional impact, mostly, you know?
Yeah, I didn't care for it at all after. Telling him, and then I rode, you know, it's probably a good 45-minute ride to where we had to go watch it, and Adam had his own car, and I went with Connor, and the whole time back, me and Connor are talking about it, and by the time we got home, I'm like, fuck that movie. Like, fuck that movie. It was so bad.
I'll never watch that bitch again.
Oh, never, never. I'm glad I didn't have to pay for it.
I didn't have to pay for it either, which was good.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good movie. I didn't mind it at all. I thought it was well made.
Did you watch the new Godzilla yet?
Yeah.
That's kick-ass, too.
Yeah. I actually own it.
Yeah, I gave it to you. Or did you buy it?
No, I bought it on Amazon.
I got to see that for free, too.
Yep.
And then I immediately bought it when it came out. I liked it. Shit, anything else you want to complain about?
Me? I ain't complaining.
I'm complaining a lot tonight. Yeah, no, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I'm good.
Short show. Probably 45 minutes. I don't even know where we're at. I can't
see
the time.
Not much to edit.
So. This ain't getting edited. It's going right out. So. But, MidnightTripleFeature.blogspot.com. Check us out, Facebook and Twitter. And we'll see you next time.
Laters. Midnight Triple Feature. Blogspot.com.